Do you like to work out anagrams? Well, whether you do or don't, it's still interesting to know that the letters of a certain woman's name may be juggled to spell out the phrase, "Flit on, cheering angel." Do angels flit? Well, I can't say, but the phrase is distinctly appropriate. You see, this woman was called the Angel of the Crimea. From Greenville, South Carolina, Bob Jones University presents Miracles. A man's life is but an empty, broken shell without an inward source of power. God's power alone can take a life and bind it into a dynamic, moving force. Truly great men are God's men. Our story today is entitled The Angel of the Crimea. This woman, this nurse of whom I speak, was an angel, a cheering angel, if we are to believe the testimony of thousands of wretched, wounded men whose suffering she relieved. Yes, the letters of this nurse's name may be rearranged to spell out the phrase, "Flit on, cheering angel." And this is why.
Nurse! Nurse!
Coming. Just one moment.
Oh, my leg. Can't you get me something?
Is the pain just as bad this time?
Oh, yes. I can't stand it. Do something, please.
I'll try and get you something for the pain.
Oh, nurse.
Please. Yes? What is it?
Would you take this? I'm not going to last. I know.
Oh, yes. I'll take it for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Give it to my wife. Her name is on the paper. With the address.
All right. But while I'm here, suppose you take your teaspoon of medicine. Ready? There you are. And I'll take the...
Nurse! My leg, the pain!
Yes? I'll get you a sedative.
Nurse, would you read to me?
Yes, of course. And just a minute. How's the bandage over the eye today? Guess we'll have to change that for you, too. I'll be right back. Let's see, Dr. James... Nowhere in sight. I guess he's got his hands full in Ward 3. Let's see. Sedative for number 2. Injections for number 3 and 5.
Nurse! My leg! Hurry!
Just a minute. Oh, that's everything. This will make you feel less pain in that leg. Now, all over. Just try and relax. I'll stop by in a few minutes.
Thank you. It's the pain. It's unbearable.
Yes, I know. The doctor will be here, I trust, before too long. So you try and rest.
Nurse?
Yes, I'm coming. Mustn't forget the note. If only he didn't realize the truth.
Won't you read to me now, nurse?
Yes, surely. What will it be today? Or would you like me to pick it out?
Oh, yes. If you'd be so kind.
All right. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Oh,
my
nurse!
Oh,
please,
yes.
Don't leave me. Stay here.
Yes, of course, I will.
It won't be long. It won't be long.
Just rest.
Yes, that's the way it was, from room to room, from bed to bed, lamp in hand at night with sympathetic word and touch, giving medicines, taking messages from dying men, doing the work of a doctor, nurse, orderly, and chaplain.
You make them sound so magnificent, so wonderful, these things I've done. Well, they were wonderful, but I don't deserve the credit. I merely followed the calling which I had. But it wasn't easy to know if I were really being called into nursing. I'd been born into a wealthy family, and I'd been highly educated. With all the advantages of travel and social position, I had to be sure of my calling, because in England in my day, nursing was scarcely a respectable profession. the majority of those serving as nurses were not qualified either mentally or morally for the service. Hospitals were nothing that the word suggests to you of the 20th century.
Then, though you were not the first woman to take up nursing, you were really the pioneer, the one who undertook the reformation of the profession. Nurse, how did you achieve the name Angel of the Crimea?
Well, it goes back a few years. You see, for 12 years, I studied hospitals and nursing methods in Germany and France.
Today, we will study the correct methods for feeding the patient. You will notice on the diagram that
I took the courses of the Deaconess School at Kaiserswerth in Germany.
When the anesthetic is correctly administered, the patient will be in proper condition for this type of operation. Always make sure that the patient...
I studied surgery and the French hospital system in Paris. And then I returned to England and took charge of the home for sick governesses in Harley Street, London. But in 1854... the crisis came. From every corner, newsboys sang out the grim message of war.
Extra, extra. England joins France and Turkey in war against Russia. Read all about it. Get your London Times. Extra.
The bitter campaign was fought on the Crimean Peninsula on the north shore of the Black Sea. On England's side, the war was frightfully mismanaged. The London Times sent out harrowing stories.
Inadequate medical service is being offered to our troops at the front. Bodies of wounded men lie along the roads where troops march relentlessly to battle. Apparently, hundreds are left to die for lack of proper medicines and doctors to supervise hospital cares.
Yes, stories appear daily concerning the inadequacies of the medical force in the war. I remember reading one letter from a correspondent to the London Times. One phrase held my attention. Are there no devoted women among us in England willing to go forth and minister to the sick and suffering soldiers of the East? I couldn't get away from the phrase. Are there no devoted women among us in England willing to go forth and minister to the sick and suffering soldiers of the East? But you see, I had to be sure of my calling. I had already broken down twice under the strain of work. I had to be sure. I wrote a letter to the War Office. Gentlemen, I would like to offer my services to my country as a nurse. My letter crossed one from my friend Sidney Herbert, then Secretary of War. He had written me about the same time I had written him. You are the only woman in England qualified by character, ability, and experience to undertake the work. Will you consider it? Then I knew that this was the work for which I had been unconsciously preparing. 2 weeks later, at the head of 38 carefully selected nurses, I left London for the Near East. It was there that I received the name Angel of the Crimea.
Angel of the Crimea. The title begins to take on more meaning now. Your story is becoming more familiar to me. Let's see. You went to the Great Barracks Hospital at Scutari, across the Bosporus from Constantinople. It was a vast quadrangular building, each side nearly a quarter of a mile
in length. The sick and wounded lay in rows, the majority with wounds undressed and fractures unset, covered with filth and caked blood and vermin. 4 miles of beds and only 18 inches between them. All the decencies and necessities of life were missing. With our own hands, my nurses and myself scrubbed floors, washed linen, and worked incessantly for sanitation and cleanliness. We organized diet kitchens where clean and suitable food could be prepared. We opened laundries for bedding and clothing. Out of my own funds and gifts from friends, we provided 10,000 shirts for the wounded. We cared for the sick and dying. I had to become organizer and administrator.
And an organizer and administrator of rare skill and judgment you were, nurse. I understand that you and your helpers worked for 2 months with almost superhuman effort. Then organizing genius triumphed over chaos. The hospitals were cleansed, the men between clean sheets, and furnished with good food and medicines. You, nurse, were more than an angel of mercy. I understand that Queen Victoria said in your praise, "Such a clear head. I wish we had her at the War Office." In 1856, you returned to England, idolized by all the people. I understand that at a dinner given for the military and naval officers at the close of the war, you were honored in quite an unusual way.
Gentlemen, you have each been given a slip of paper on which to write a name. So at this time, we shall take the opportunity of selecting the name of the person most named, the person whose services during the campaign would be longest remembered by posterity. I shall ask that these slips of paper be brought to the head of the table at this time. Thank you. Let's see. Florence Nightingale. Florence. Flo. Nightingale. Gentlemen, I am pleased to announce something quite unusual. We have opened each slip of paper turned in and find the same name on each one. The name of Nurse Florence Nightingale.
And so it was, through my efforts in the Crimean War, that I received the title Angel of the Crimea.
Thank you, Florence Nightingale, for the story you have told us today. But wasn't there something else? Maybe a great climax to your story which hasn't been told yet?
Yes, there is. My entire life was guided by one great idea. I believed, I knew that I was called by God to this special service of nursing. It was on February 7th, 1837, that God called me into His service. One truth always stood out as a light before me. To serve for God's sake and not man's will prevent failure from being a disappointment.
Gladys Bazanson played the role of Florence Nightingale. Technical engineer was Dave Harrell, sound technician Corbin Tabler, organ cues provided by Jim Martin. The script was directed by Laura Pratt, and this is Dave Yerrick speaking. Miracles is a transcribed production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.